Hey, Zeke.
Howdy. How you doing?
Good. It's nice to see you again.
Yes. Thanks for having me in.
Well, what do you think of the new pavilion? You've been there.
Yeah. Overall, I like it. It's got great art in it. And so it's really tough to go wrong with when you just have the great art. It's everything else sort of just fades away. And it's the sort of thing where, I was very, very, I'm trying to think if I had any preconceived notions, and I do my best these days to just walk in completely blank. And yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised. There are a couple of niggly points and stuff like that, but I will say that they are very small, minor details.
Well, such as?
It's this sort of thing where I'm not a big fan of the ghettoization of Inuit art. It's where they, by sticking it all the way up on the top floor and stuff like that, they sort of have separated it out. And given that, yeah, I find Inuit art fascinating just because it was a completely invented type of thing that started in the late 40s. How it's so separate. It's where, to my mind, you should just incorporate it all in. It's the sort of thing where, yes, if you're trying to incorporate people into the general sort of population, then at which point, let's just incorporate their art into the whole fabric as well, as opposed to just putting it up there. But that being said, there are two pieces in particular that I particularly like, which is by George Arlick. He did a thing on with a snowmobile, which I always find fascinating, is because everybody thinks it's so traditional, and then here you have modern stuff in it. And then Miriam Marilek Kiyuk, who did Birds in a Nest, which is also just a fascinating piece. And yeah, I quite like the sculptures themselves, but as I was saying, it's just, I'd prefer that since everything else is in chronologic order, why don't you just put them in chronologic order and incorporate them into the rest of it?
Well, Anne Grace from the museum was telling us the reason why they did it that way was because it is on the top floor and there is natural sunlight that comes in because, I mean, you've been there. There are kind of these cathedral windows and they couldn't put anything else but sculptures. Mm-hmm. And they figured, well, why not just put all of our Inuit collection there, because of course they won't be damageable because of that natural sunlight. So, I mean, that's probably the reason why they decided to put it up there.
No, and speaking of that, I was sort of quite surprised because looking out the windows, when you're up on that top floor, you have a wonderful view of the next door neighbor's roof. And I'm trying to figure that out, scratch my head, why, how, maybe there's something in the springtime or in the winter where the view gets spectacular or something like that. But right now, a view of the roof. I'm not so certain, but whatever. I'm not the one who built it.
Coming back to the collection, it has to be a real challenge to cover the entire history of Quebec and Canadian art in one pavilion. How well did the museum do that, in your opinion?
Given that they are the sort of standard bearers, the holders of the history of Quebec and Canadian art. They are probably have, just because they've been around the longest, since like the 1840s or something like that, they have been collecting for the longest time. So, short answer, they do a very good job. The thing that surprised me is that I've always been under the impression that the museum has way more art than they can show at any given time. And given that this is a rehang of their Canadian art collection, I was surprised at how many pieces that they had were previously exhibited in the old pavilion. And realizing, I'm trying to write, either they are the most iconic stuff that you have sort of, along the lines of they must be exhibited at all times so that anybody can see them at any time that they want. Or maybe they don't have as much different, because there it's the new stuff that I saw was not necessarily the Canadian art, but there's some new stuff that I'd never seen before that was absolutely spectacular. And like the, that whole salon style stuff, where they had all the paintings up on the wall, cheek to jowl. That's very, very nicely done, because that, again, is how they displayed the paintings back then in the 1920s and 1930s. The other thing that also struck me is, did you get down to the basement, the S2 level?
Briefly. I didn't spend enough time as I wished I could have,
Because down there, that was the one where it's the period of Canadian and Quebec art that I'm most familiar with, because they sort of start with, after you've done the Inuit art, you then go down through the ages. So it's, you started like, the 1700s, and then you go all the way down to the modern age on the bottom floor. And the first thing that struck me is how much it looks like a metro station. And I'm saying, that's absolutely brilliant in terms of just the connection between the metro, how it sort of helped the growth of Montreal, and just as the iconic, one of the iconic things about Montreal. And so there's that big block of concrete. And then on top of it, you have stuff like the Toussignons, the Molinaris. They have some Riopelles, large, what you want, snow canoe down there. And they're just, it's wonderful being able to be in a place where there are things that are that large. Everything is humongous. I sort of left scratching my head and must say that I know people made small art in the 60s and 70s, but by being here, you would never, ever even guess that. And it's just absolutely phenomenal the way it is. And then that's the sort of corridor that connects you into the Hornstein Pavilion, the older building.
Exactly.
Yes.
What about the way the works are shown? It's very traditional. It's paintings hanging on a wall. Could this alienate younger audiences who are now used to technology, to you know, brand new ways mm-hmm. of displaying art?
How many new ways can you hang a painting? To me, there are sort of two ways. Either you do the Salon style or you do the sort of white cube style. And there they've done to my mind, a very good job of being, quote unquote, historically accurate to the period where the large stuff from the 60s is white cube. The stuff from, as they put it, the era of the salons is done Salon style. I think the difficulty with trying to incorporate today's youth would be involved in when are they going to get an app out for the whole building? It's the sort of thing where I don't know. I don't think you need to try and attract kids by saying we need to do it. Then it becomes like Saturday morning cartoons. And to me, they attract them by showing good stuff and then making things in such a way so that, yeah, like the app so that, oh, this.
Well, that I like the idea of having, you know, an application for your smartphone mm-hmm. with the museum collection. That is actually very smart.
Yes, and to me, I'm looking forward to, because I have to go borrow a smartphone, but the McCord Museum apparently has a really kick-ass app.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. Good to know.
But to me, it's the sort of thing where once you sort of sit in front of the art, that's all you really need.
Take it all in. Mm-hmm. What about the information provided? People who have studied art will see it one way. Neophytes will see it another way. Is there enough information posted or even, you know, the audio guide that is presented? Will mm-hmm. people understand what's there?
Short answer, yes. It's the sort of thing taking it back, there's a couple of items because they're still working out the kinks where there are some things that don't have tags on it, but I'm certain that's like a small glitch and they're working on it and something happened that, there was a typo or something like that in the first run and they had to go print some new ones. But yeah, for the most part, the information is there. The audio guide, I'm never really a big fan of audio guides to begin with just because I find they're very, very distracting. And so it's a sort of thing where I found that they were sort of dancing around the subject. It's where when I look at a painting, I'd like to know, okay, artist, when, how, why, an explanation of the sort of subject matter of the painting, if there is any, or of the technique, if in the case of something abstract. These audio guides just sort of talked about what was happening at that time period. And the other thing that was just interesting to me was they also referenced other pieces of art without explaining where they were. And so I'm sort of like listening to it and then having to turn my head around and say, where is that other thing? What am I missing? And given that I haven't quite gotten around to memorizing the entire floor plan yet, it sort of was just a little bit confusing.
And plus, I mean, it's safe to say that you can't take everything in one visit. There's so much art
yes.
to be taken in. And the great thing is it's free, so you can go back as many times as you wish. What did you notice about the architecture of the building itself?
There, it's the sort of thing where I was surprised at first how small the galleries were. I was expecting, that was where I had an expectation of seeing the size of the other galleries in the museum. I was expecting something similar to that. They were very small. As far as then just the sort of facade incorporating on Du Musée, that surprisingly works very, very well.
Well, yes, because you have the old American and Erskine Church mixed in with a whole new building that was built, you know, where the church
yes.
used to be, mm-hmm. essentially.
But there it's the facade on Sherbrooke Street. That I'm not exactly certain works as well. It's given that they're still doing an awful lot of work there and there's still an awful lot of construction, I'm definitely going to give it a flyer until at least next April or something like that.
I want to finish with one last question. In front of the new museum, there's a huge bronze sculpture done by David Altmaid, who normally works with plastic and feathers, and this is his first bronze statue. What did you think mm-hmm. of it?
I like it. I like most of his work. What struck me most is that Yeah, they didn't put it on Axis, on this, so that it's on the center of Crescent Street. But there, or as you walk up Crescent Street, you'd see it directly. But there, and realizing because also the doors to the museum are on the Axis, but there, there's a sign, the advertisement sign for upcoming at the museum. And had they put the Altmid statue there and just put the advertisement where the Altmid statue is, it would have been much, much more viewable. And there are those sculptures, because they have about four sculptures that are going up to Musée. But to me, it's, yeah, they have them all facing the wrong way, as everything is facing towards Sherbrooke. However, my having seen people use Du Musée, it's, they tend to walk downhill, and there are not very many people who walk uphill. And so if you're walking downhill from Du Musée approaching the museum, you're going to see the back of all these statues. If you twist them slightly, it might make them a little bit more accessible to the people who are walking by, as opposed to just sort of saying, okay, the only people who are going to be seeing them are the people from Sherbrooke, and at which point let's then let them see them from afar.
Interesting perspective. Mm-hmm. Chris Hand, thank you for this, by the way.
No problem. My pleasure.
We also know him as Zeke, Montreal blogger, art enthusiast, and he also ran Zeke's gallery on Saint-Laurent Boulevard for 10 years. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.